and Detroit!
Detroit, Stereo 95, WLBN.
Music for the evening hours from your 24-hour stereo station, WOMC, Detroit.
Solid gold, rock and roll, from Stereo 96.3,
WJR-FM, Detroit.
This is JP on WJR, Detroit.
WQRS-FM in Detroit.
92.3, WCAR-FM, Detroit.
WBRB. AM and FM on Clemens, the voice of Macomb County.
WDET FM stereo at 101.9 from the campus of Wayne State University.
WGPR Detroit.
Urban suburban Detroit, country style, where you start every day with a smile. WSDS, it's a lady.
WMZK, the sounds of the times on FM radio 98, Detroit.
WJDK.
This is WPON in Pontiac, Oakland County Radio.
QT Radio, WQTE Monroe, 560 on your AM dial.
This is WIID Garden City serving Metro Detroit.
This is WMUZ in Detroit, informative, entertaining, and purposeful.
This is WCHD 105.9 on your FM dial in Detroit.
Listening to WBFG 98.7 stereo FM in the city of Detroit.
Serving greater Detroit. WEXL Royal Oak.
1400 WJLB. WRIF Detroit.
Even WABX in Detroit.
W Car cares about Detroit and its people.
Music.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
CKLW, the Motor City.
12 o'clock at the Big Eight. Hello, dearly beloved. We're gathered together on this auspicious occasion to
more and more people hear more and more music on the Motor City's Tower 92.
In the beginning, it was the granddaddy of them all, Ed McKenzie. Ed was the original Jack the Bellboy. A long time ago, McKenzie hired a fella who just might have been Detroit's most popular, best known, and currently most active radio personality, Robin Seymour. That young whippersnapper recalls that in the early days, he wasn't very good. In fact,
I was pretty bad, I must admit, because I remember at times when Ed McKenzie was chief announcer, he'd be running into the studio some night screaming and waving his arms madly and coming up to me and saying, "Kid, you're not really seriously thinking of staying in the business, are you?" I says, "Yes, why?" He says, "Well, if you keep up this work, you're going to be on the outside looking in." That was one of his favorite lines, when you used to goof up on the air. You're going to be on the outside looking in. I think that was probably more responsible for me staying in the business than anything else.
We did a little bit of snooping and found that Mr. Seymour got to be a DJ in a rather unusual way.
I got a tip from a good friend of mine, Freddie Fisher, who was down at Wayne University. See, we called it Wayne University in those days, not Wayne State University. It was a small school then, see? And he told me they were looking for a new announcer at this new radio station in Dearborn, a daytimer, 1540 on the dial, WKMH, above the Gagnon Furniture Store. And I had no indication one way or another as to whether or not I was going to get hired. I was told to call the next day, which I did, and it was Decoration Day, 1947. And Jerry Steiner gave me the very happy news that I was their new announcer and reported to work the next day, June 1st, 1947, for 90 cents an hour.
Yeah, this is the Big Bad Bird, and for the next 3 hours, we're going to be bobbing with Robin all the hits, everything new, and everything just for you. So come on along and let's everybody have a ball.
Bobbing with the Robin, no more time for sobbing.
Let there be music.
It was not a disc jockey station until the first day of February 1948, at which time Fred Nohr, the owner of the station, came into the studio at noon that day, said, "Who's on duty from 2 to 6? I said, "Me, Mr. Nohr." He said, "Good, you're a disc jockey." And that's how I started my disc jockey show.
Oh, yeah, that was a real mover, Chuck Berry. Hey, by the way, Chuck Berry is coming to the Riviera Theater in 3 weeks.
Another of the most remembered Detroit radio veterans is Fred Wolf. Mr. Wolf is currently the owner of the Eastland Bowl. Fred really likes sports, especially bowling, but because of a back problem, he couldn't take part. The next best thing? Broadcast it. After that first successful show, Mr. Wolf told us about the encore.
Then a year after the first bowling show, we did another bowling show on Sunday nights, which was called the 10th Frame, which got into a little production because we used to go out and record shows at various tournaments, or at that time I was the state match game director for the Michigan State Bowling Association. So I used to schedule these tournaments so that I'd have a pretty good chance of having a show every Sunday night.
Chuck Richards at W4 is a young air personality trying very hard to communicate with his audience at a closer level.
I've realized that the people of Detroit are so busy in their daily lives with this being a car center of the world that they don't really have time to read through a whole newspaper or maybe even watch a whole newscast. And when they hear a newscast, it's all the bad things that are happening. And it's really tragic, and every once in a while I feel they like to laugh. So if I can take a news story, especially about a politician or one of the local personalities who are great in Detroit, and talk about that and make the people laugh a little bit, they can get involved in the show. And I think they feel that the people of Detroit feel that it's more important to know what's going on and be able to laugh about it than to know about the bad things that are going on and worry about it. People worry too much. So if I can make them smile a little bit, we take a thing like Marcus Woodward BVD, which is a takeoff on Marcus Welby, a doctor. And this guy is like a bumbling idiot. And at times we're all bumbling idiots. And this guy gets into all kinds of crazy situations. So you can sit along, relate, and laugh with that type of thing. And I think all the personalities in Detroit, like the Shannons, the Purtons, the McCarthys, they realize that people want to be talked to and not at, and they're more concerned with the things that are going on as opposed to the time and temperature, because they can get that anywhere. And like being at W4, I have the opportunity to do this type of thing, and as far as relation is concerned, every song is an oldie. And if I can take something from 57 and say that was Fats Domino from 57, that was the same year the Lions won the National Football Championship, and that was the last time that they won it, maybe they'll do it again this year. Somebody can think back and say, "Wow, that was great. I remember turning the goalpost down."
Sherelle's at W4, and "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow," a song about Milton Berle. I found that out from our movie and showbiz reporter, Betty Lou Kozabutsky. It's 1021 now from W4, the Chuck Richards Union of Music, Local 106, with Neil Diamond and Sunday Sun. At Silverhawk and awaiting on you all on W4 1048 from the Chuck Richards Show. Boy, I'm telling you, all these rate increases for everybody. Gas company wants to raise their rate, and the barbers want to charge more for a haircut and whatnot, and the garbage men don't want to work overtime. A phone company wants to increase their rates. If you ask me, I think the phone company is nothing but a bunch of operators.
The people in Detroit are looking for anything that is different, something that is informative. I think all the people of Detroit want to be informed with what's going on, and they will go to the person that's talking to them and not at them. I think they're more concerned these days with what people are saying, and if with relation, if you can relate a song to their daily lives or relate something to their daily lives, they feel it's more important than something that happened in Tuscaloosa, Ohio or something.
Occasionally, but not very often, disc jockeys develop a somewhat controversial style in order to be remembered a little bit longer. Former CKLW rock DJ Mike Rivers is one of them, and he did it with somewhat suggestive humor.
A lot of people have talked to me about some of the things I used to say on the air at CKLW, and they say, how do you get away with this? Apparently thinking that some ogre is sitting there ready to clamp down on my tongue if you heard something you didn't like. But these same people are the people that tune in Johnny Carson and really hear bluer material than I ever used, and that's being broadcast over the same public airwaves. They never batted an eyelash, and it's just a beautiful example of a double standard in radio. Everybody knows that kids of all ages are up watching Johnny Carson and hearing all kinds of blue material from Bob Hope and other people, yet for some reason they don't seem willing to hear this on the radio. All I tried to do was just do exactly the same thing everybody else was doing with regard to that kind of humor. I never really said anything that was totally filthy. I always tried to allow, two meanings to all sides of it, so you could take it one way or the other, which, of course, always gives you a nice out when you say, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way.
Well, mostly cloudy skies this afternoon and tonight with occasional light snow, possibly mixed with sleet. Oh, sleet.
I never really said anything that was totally filthy.
CKLW. When we ask him why he did that sort of thing, he said,
some people in the higher echelon of the organization thought that it was interesting and appropriate for that particular time of the day and the way the station was going.
The CKLW incident could not have come at a better time. The station seemed to be lacking something, that magic ingredient that makes a radio station better than just good. The ratings of WKNR were up, and WXYZ was about to give up top 40 for some easy listening music. We talked with former CKLW DJ Mike Rivers about what it was like at CKLW then.
It was a little like working under Hitler that liked rock and roll music. I worked under him at other stations too, but the program director's name was Paul Drew, and it was an interesting place to work. We played a heck of a lot of music, had a lot of fun, and I must say there's nothing like working for a station that is truly on top, as that one was just absolutely dominant, and I understand still is. We had a lot of fun, and got a lot of good things done, met some really terrific people, and kind of gave me, a good background to build on when I moved on here to Philadelphia.
Yeah, on with the power, on with your hitline request. Give me a ring, love, at 252-5555 Windsor, 964-9833 Detroit. Some more love. Do you believe in miracles? Sure you do. Smokey and Bunches right here on the Mike Rivers Show. Come on, guys.
Mike Rivers. Then there was Jim Edwards, CKLW's energetic morning man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Edwards.
CKLW, the Motor City.
12 o'clock at the Big Eight. Hello. Dearly beloved, we're gathered together on this auspicious occasion to...
That's the two stations where the guys have a lot of fun.
Oh, let it shine. That's the fifth dimension, Aquarius. Let the sun shine in.
You are listening to WCAR. You've got Detroit turned on.
And how you doing, huh? The old bear's shining in on a Sunday afternoon, night after two. Come on, stick around. I'll be here till 7.
Hi, this is Ed Bush. And this is the swinging Sunday sound of WLIN. Until 12:30, tomorrow morning, it's the swinging sound of the Motor City.
Ron Rose runs through a few old memories about Detroit radio, currently with WHFI.
WCAR is the proving ground for every radio announcer in the country. You don't go anywhere in radio unless you started at CAR.
One of the better-known players of music at WXYZ is Tom Shannon, who says,
I first came to Detroit, I first looked out and I said, wow, I was in Windsor, literally. I wasn't in Detroit. And I remember looking across, seeing the Detroit skyline. That was kind of impressive. And I came here in the winter months. It was December of, I believe, 68. And when I first saw Detroit, it reminded me very much of a bigger Buffalo where I had come from. Many of the other radio people had, too. Dick Purton and Joey Reynolds and people like that. And I said, gee, this is kind of impressive, and I was a little afraid. I had left all the friends and everything the first time I had moved out of a home market, home area, to come to a big city, so as it were. And I was now in Windsor, which was not an overriding, thriving capital at that time. It has grown since then, thank goodness. But I stayed at some little old hotel, and I remember the snow and things. And I said, even the snow, people were always complaining. I said, if you were in Buffalo, New York, the snow there was about 10 times deeper, 10 times more severe. So I said, Detroit winters were not going to be bad for me. I enjoyed CKLW in its early days. I had all kinds of freedom, and freedom in the sense that I had something I put together called the Shannon Empire, and I had a thing called Bearskin Rug, which was on late at night, last half hour, poetry readings. Perhaps some people remember that. And the final departure with myself and CKLW took place, I'm going to have to search for the years. I'm not exactly sure, but I believe it was like late 69 or early 70. And it, like everybody else, is an economic point where you come to where you're making as much money as the general manager or something along that line, and you start looking for more money, you know, not a whole lot, but just a little bit more. And at that time, CKLW was going through the throes of a change of ownership because they had to be sold. Because they were in Canada, they were owned by an American company, and the Canadian government made them turn it over and say, well, you know, you've got to sell your property. You've got to dispose of it so you have a Canadian owner. When that happened, there was an economic cutback. Bill Kennedy departed just before I did. One of our newsmen now at WXYZ, Don Patrick, left.
WXYZ's Tom Shannon. Bob Edgington, a former WJBK rock jock and later a newsman, is now a middle-of-the-road DJ at WHFI. He remembers the old lineup at WJBK.
The fellows at JBK, like Clark Reed, Robert E. Lee, Dave Schaefer, Jack the Bellboy, Mark Avery, and maybe you might recall people like Dave Milan, Bob Lane, and some others of that category. They were fantastic years, and let's see now. I think I followed three different Jack the Bellboys in the 4 years, or 3 to 4 years, that I did the all-night thing on WJBK. Let's see, the first was Harvey Kay, who went to New York, I understood, and became a pants salesman, like his father-in-law. And after that, Dave Schaefer, who had come in shortly after Mark Avery. They both came out of Arizona Radio. And then following Dave Schaefer, Terry Knight, for a spell, you may recall. And after Terry Knight, the last of a long line of Jack the Bell Boys, which had all begun with Ed McKenzie many, many years ago, predating me by a few years, Robin Walker. And he's short in stature, but mighty big on the airwaves, as I recall. And he used to hand me, in fact, all the J the BBs in those days were handing me the top, the biggest audience in Detroit radio at midnight.
If you came looking for action, baby doll, you found it. Robin Walker, I'll take you on a high-speed ride through the night. Let's go! I'm looking at 59 degrees in the city of Wheels. We're on the way until 11:55. This is David Vox. Lovely summer girl, I wish I was there with you. Hey, yeah.
The JBK games are more fun. More fun for everyone. And it pays to listen.
I work by an old radio adage, an old showbiz adage called Mumble When in Doubt.
Wow, straight up and flip, this is Jim Taylor from Wonderful Wham. I'm here till 12 at 12 o'clock. Da-da-da-da, the Big M.
You're swinging.
Whoopee.
On WAMM, Flint, Michigan.
Oh, boy.
All that music on contact radio. Wonderful Wham.
When we asked Jim what he thought of WXYZ changing from rock to easy listening back in 1967, he said...
Back, the station had a certain chemistry that you just couldn't find in stations around the country. And I think when they changed format, they lost that chemistry, as any station would if they changed format. But they seemingly very well liked by Detroit, you know.
After 1 o'clock in the morning from WXYZ in Detroit City. Hello there. How are you? You're listening to the Jimmy Hampton Show, probably one of the great moments of your time.
Hampton's most recent appearance here was at WCAR. He says of that...
I still feel and felt at the time that the station was doing the right thing. They had been doing good music for so many years, and they were so well known as a good music station. Why not just do what they've been known for doing better?
Older Town has found a sound that makes your ears give a party for your head. WCAR is getting it said.
So at the time I left there, I felt that CAR was doing the right things. The city had been stagnant for some time. I thought the freshest thing were CAR, and DEE. There was something there that entertained people.
That driving country music is turning in the driveway of my mind.
WDEE, the Big D.
WCAR's national consultant on radio, a fellow named Ken Draper of Los Angeles, seems to feel the entire city of Detroit has lost a little momentum.
And I think radio all over the country, including Detroit, is pretty dull and uneventful at the moment. And I think that reasonably speaking, that's true of Detroit. There were, if you think back, it was about, somewhere in the 61, 2, 3, or 4 period when XYZ was rocking and CK was sort of rocking and Keener was around and JBK was rocking. There are four rockers there, and that kind of competition breeds a lot of excitement that I think the listener benefits in. I think the industry is a little stagnant at the moment, and I think it's sort of stagnant in Detroit. I'm hoping that, you know, as the months go along, we'll be able to make our contribution in getting all that changed.
Motown sound.
More power to you.
WKNR.
We kick off the $1 million weekend.
The station that asked the question.
James Bond, I got a shotgun in my horn. Look at that! Did you see that? Look at him drop.
Number one in Detroit. The Detroit sound, the four top.
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
The ratings.
Monday, former number one song in XYZ.
Well, I don't know. What can you say?
5 minutes before 10 o'clock, WKMH time, Sangu.
That's Bobby Freeman, number 21 this week on Keener. 10 minutes after 6 on the Gary Stevens Show.
Oh, words and music.
Hey!
With yours truly, Tom Clay.
Lee Allen on the horn. Add $1 million worth of talent.
We'll be sure and dig all of the rest of the guys on WXYZ during the week. Fred Wolf, Paul Wintner, young Joel Sebastian, Lee Allen and Don Z.
This is Don All-American Z. I'll go on until 10 this way this morning.
The super hit sound of number 10.
Keep it right there. Channel 1270, the station with a happy difference. Joel Sebastian, 12 minutes after the hour of 2. That's big time.
1270. That's easy to remember.
W-K-N-R.
Line number 19 this week at WKNR, baby. Sure to have you on the Greeny Show for a Saturday night. This is the sound of the Temptations. Hey!
Try this one on for size.
A good rocker in the market competing with CK could do a great deal to put some excitement, some competitive excitement back in the market. And I would guess that the next six months to a year, the nature of that market, the makeup of the market, can change some. I think you might very well find somebody else rocking there. I think the nature of the market is, we're in a transitional period in Detroit, and I think 6 months to a year from now, the makeup of that market will be considerably different.
Program consultant Ken Draper.
Radio reminds me of my home far away.
But they also had personality, and to me, that's where radio is at.
On WXYZ and the Madcap Murphy Show! Let's go! How about that weather, huh? 39 degrees, and we've got all the music for you till 9:30.
The All-Americans have all the music. Channel 127, WXYZ.
Make this for some kind of guys and gals in Mount Clemens, Michigan tonight.
Lots of letters from Mount Clemens. They say, Lee, when are you coming to see us?
The All-American Go-Go Team on Swing at 12-7 WXYZ.
Go-Go Lee.
Here's a twin spin on XYZ.
Wixie twin spin.
I'm telling you now.
60 minutes past 2 on Wixie. Remember.
Johnny Francis knows where the boys are on All-American Radio, 24 and a half past 10 and 22 degrees. WXYZ listening.
I still think very fondly back to the days when the lineup it was Fred Wolf in the morning, Paul Winter, Joel Sebastian, Lee Allen, Don Z. Guys with real identities, with real talent that could say something other than time and temperature and call letters.
Paul Winter, W4's morning DJ, is a Detroit radio veteran. He recalls just for you the days of unformatted radio.
Well, I have earlier memories of WXYZ than those including Joel and Lee and Dave. Those memories do include Fred, Wolf, of course, but also Ed McKenzie, Mickey Shore, John Slagle, Sleepyhead Ted. Anybody remember Sleepyhead Ted? That was back in 1952, actually, when first I went to WXYZ. So that those memories span a good many people and also include the last 2 years of the Lone Ranger live from the old Jefferson Avenue studios. That would be at Jefferson and Iroquois. Now it's a supermarket. But so are a lot of things.
You'll have to go.
Jim Reed reminding you he'll have to go. The Rascals and Everybody's Gotta Be Free. Just before that on W4, presenting Answers Worth Knowing and Gardens Worth Hoeing today from noon to infinity. Yeah, but it's hot, it's hot. So is he.
In those days, though, as you probably know, radio was considerably different than it later became in the era of Sebastian, Alan, Prince, myself, and Mickey Shore. And the difference, substantially, was between the earlier unstructured, non-formatted, and unformulated and formularized days and the later Top 40 rock days, beginning about 58 for us and extending through until, the present time for almost everybody.
W4's Joey Ryan feels FM is going to happen in Detroit.
I'm looking forward to I guess as the whole staff is here at W4, to FM happening in Detroit, and us making FM happen in Detroit, as it's happened in New York at WOR. And I think that AM realizes it. I think that the AM personalities in Detroit and the AM programmers are realizing that FM is a potential threat, if I can use that word, or competition other than threat, that maybe it won't kill them, but it's going to take a big piece of the action with the FM radios coming into town. A lot of different people I've known in Detroit, for example, people like Dick Purton, I think will be hard to beat. J.P. McCarthy, of course, is going to be hard to beat on WJR. But FM is going to happen in this town. And I don't say it just because I'm working at an FM radio station.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears, 1970 Gold. And the thing knows Luke, Creature McKeevil, you just such a bad lady. Here's Jerry Reed at 904 from W4 with Joey. And Jerry says,
well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big trap gig going back in the alley. And I kept rolling in for them.
There's just so much that listeners have. There's just so much offered. But the competition in this market, I think, is going to be very tough, as it would be in bigger markets, for example, like New York and Los Angeles. The competition is going to be very keen, and I think we're going to see a lot of different stations rising and falling.
That was W4's Joey Ryan. Dick Purton remembers the early days at WKNR, and maybe you remember, too.
When I did the night show on WKNR from 10 to 1, since I had never done, really, for all intents and purposes, a nighttime show, I really was, it was hit or miss. I didn't know what I was doing. And I tended to be perhaps a little wilder than I had been before. In fact, I have heard tapes of the show, and I really can't believe it was me.
1028 WKNR time. On time, old the time as we swing along and sing a song. Now, tonight is tonight. We're going to continue our KNR Top 13 Hitline Auto Accidents of the Weekend. We got up to five yesterday. And if you have had an auto accident any time today, any time since I signed off last night at 10 o'clock until this time, or if you're going to have one any time tonight, if you plan an accident or something of that nature, let us hear about it. And we will get a KNR newsman on the scene to record the accident. We'll play the tape recording of the accident, see if it qualifies for a KNR Top 13 Hitline Auto Accident. And good luck to you.
I guess it was fitting for the time of day. It seemed to work. I will say that after the first two or three weeks of doing the wild stuff on the night show, I settled down. And I went into just the normal kind of delivery. As I recall, that's true. I have no tapes myself of my own performance on that show. A few people from time to time have played some for me, and I just scratched my head in amazement, you know. Sounded like a latter-day Robin Seymour.
All I can say about Dick is that it's lucky he's had Robin Seymour in Detroit, because then what would he have had to talk about?
One of the best known of the cellar-type personalities around these parts was and is, you guessed it, J.P. McCarthy at WJR. We talk with Joe about the chemistry of morning radio.
Detroit morning radio means a great deal to the 4.5 million people who are in this city, most of whom have to get up early in the morning and get down to work. I believe something like 70% of the population that includes gets up by 7 o'clock in the morning, believe it or not. So Detroit morning radio is a very major alarm clock and a device that gets people's, not only their corpuscles percolating, but also their brain moving. Now, as far as morning radio in Detroit is concerned, compared with other markets, comparable size cities, major population areas around the country, it was at one time quite different, really unique, in fact. 10 years ago, 1960-1961, it was what was known in the country as a very soft market, because there are only 8 radio stations, really, and in a population center of our size, that meant that no matter what you put on, you were going to get a sizable enough audience so that the stations could make some money. So consequently, I think in terms of competition, 10 years ago, Detroit radio was soft and just really was not on a competitive level with other major areas like New York, like Chicago, like San Francisco or Los Angeles or even Philadelphia. However, certain changes have taken place in the last few years, and it has become exactly 180 degrees from that soft market. It is now what is known as a tough market.
Remember not so long ago when it was called hillbilly music? Well, it wasn't so long ago either when country music was thought to be the lowest form of musical composition. Sad tunes, the twanging guitars, and the strum of the old banjo, all of it liked a lot by the farmer and those from the back hills. Well, those days are gone, and country music is here and now. WJBK was a rock and roll radio station before it became known as the Big D. A chat with former program director Mike Scott there about why the rock format didn't work.
By the time we got everything organized to go into rock, which the way it should have been done immediately, the decision was made to go country with it. Well, the formula was set up. Everything was organized. The mechanics were all organized, but then it was just a matter of changing the music. And that's all we did. Changed the music, and then we bought jingles and the little production aids and put on a continuously running money giveaway. All of the things that you would do with a successful radio station of any type. If you want to convert it from what it has been, I think the basic steps, first and foremost, is organization. You have to get your grits together. And then once you got everything together, organized, ready to move, then do it. I think a great mistake a lot of people make in radio, and you see this all over the country, is they try to ease into something. You don't ease into anything.
This is Ron Morgan. Remember me? I'm the one been gone about 4 days. No smart cracks from you. Dean Martin, front and center. That's Dean Martin. Remember me. I'm the one who loves you. Johnny and the Young American all day. 6 minutes in front of 6 o'clock is our Send Me Mine time on the Ron Morgan Show, wrapping it up for a Friday afternoon.
Ron Sherwood at WKNR. We wanted to know for you what kind of a station is that place called WTOD in Toledo.
It was a fun radio station to work for. It was a rock station. I guess it would parallel WKNR now. Not as formatted and as quick as CKLW. We had more leeway.
When questioned about when Tom Dean was hired at WTOD...
That was in April of 65 that I started with the station. And in July of 1965, I was let go for oversleeping. I think the day that I was fired, I overslept. I was supposed to be there at 8, and I showed up at 10. He says, this is the reason that you're no longer with us.
WEXL in suburban Royal Oak is Metro Detroit's original country and western music station. We spoke with program director Dave Carr, who says...
Many of the big country artists of years gone by appeared on WEXL. You've got to understand that WEXL was an independent station. It was not linked with any type of network, so therefore, back in the days of network programming, when the networks played a significant role in radio programming, WEXL had no network, so we made up for it here in terms of live music and so forth, and records, which was not the dominant way of programming a station back in the early days.
WJBK called. This was October of 1967. So here I am today at WDEE.
Vampira.
Dracula.
Vampira.
Dracula.
Oh, Vampira.
Dracula.
Vampira.
Dracula.
Vampira.
Dracula.
Vampira.
Oh, Dracula.
Come, my darling. And fly away with me.
We talked to with Don Z, most recently program director for WHFI in Birmingham. Don has a lot of admirers, among them W4 program director Ira J. Cook.
Hey, Paul, did you hear the guy on the radio? He just said his name was Ira J. Schnook.
Ira J. Schnook?
Yeah, I know.
That's
kidding.
A funny name for a disc jockey.
That's a funny name for anybody. Gee, that's a funny name for a disc jockey. Ira J. Schnook?
Almost as funny as Don Z.
Don Z?
And I was there for about a little less than a year, I think, when the new Drake format came into CKLW radio. And all of the old-timers naturally had to go. So I was one of them. Yeah, I think they made a complete boom of them all. They swept the entire radio station clean. And at this point, I firmly decided, if you'll pardon the expression, to hell with it. I'm going to give up broadcasting and go into something that would be sane and sober and rational and go ahead and prepare a future for myself, something I could depend upon, inquire about me as to whether or not I might be interested in returning back into radio, which I turned down almost every instance, except WHFI-FM Birmingham.
The old-line traditional standards, the pop favorites, whatever it is that you call them, the good music stations have a place in this old world. And it appears that sort of music is no longer confined to the doctor's office. We spoke with Harold Tanner, general manager of WLDM, Detroit's first FM station.
We started about 23 years ago, the first independent FM station in the market. And I believe that much of what we know today was pioneered by this station. We're from marketing studies that have been made. Today we have something over 85% penetration of FM, so we know that a lot of people are listening to it.
Music designed especially for your listening enjoyment from Stereo 104, WOMC Detroit.
Mr. Gordon Sparks talks about the success at WOMC.
I don't really think our success has an awful lot to do with what the other stations have or haven't done. I think it has more to do with what we've done. And I don't think it's any big secret. I think, fortunately, we started out with good signal and pretty much decided what we wanted to program and stuck with it for a long time. Now, everybody's pretty much aware of OMC recently, but we've been doing this since about 1958 or 59. And for a good many years, during those earlier years when we first started separate programming from our affiliated AM station. There were just a handful of us that were aware of what was being programmed and what was being done. So I think it's the success of WOMC hinges pretty much on our good signal and the fact that we've played good stereo music over a long period of time, consistently stuck with it, and people have discovered us and liked it and stuck with it.
Music designed especially for your listening enjoyment from Stereo 104. WOMC, Detroit.
Then there's Richard Jones, owner of WQTE. He tells you now why he bought what was then WMIC.
Well, originally we bought WMIC, which is licensed to Monroe, because it had an excellent signal and it covered not only Detroit, but all of southeastern Michigan. To us, it seemed to be a perfect facility and one which offered a challenge, providing we could come up with the proper format.
Mr. Jones, what about other stations that try to compete with WQTE?
A recent survey that ARB, American Research Bureau, just brought out, came up with a survey which showed the five most popular stations in the top 50 cities. And we were quite gratified that CUTE was one of the five in the Detroit market.
CUTE Radio, WQTE Monroe, 560 on your AM dial.
There is no reason for the listener who likes the WQTE sound and has his or her dial locked on 560, there's no reason to change to something else. Who's going to do it any better than we do it? The reason that other stations have not copied this is because they know it's a long, slow process. Because a format such as this is a process of evolution, not revolution.
Yes, I listen to WQTE most of the time whenever I'm home. I enjoy it very, very much. The music is very pleasing for a person my age.
I've had 30 years of the radio scene in Detroit and in other markets. WQTE has been programmed the way you hear it today for 10 years. Has never changed.
The music that we think people would like to listen to, the music is familiar, and the music is something that I think you'd like to walk away whistling or humming. It's a format that incorporates virtually almost anything that you want to hear. It's not everything for everybody. It lets you relax. It's one of the most imitated things I've bumped into. As a matter of fact, if I have any complaints about Detroit, I wish they'd stop plagiarizing everybody, because I don't think there are very many original thoughts in this market. As a result of this thing going on, which we spend hours and hours and hours developing, there are four or five other radio stations that are using tidbits of it. And although we might consider it a compliment, at the same time, I think that it's watering down the whole radio market in Detroit by everybody trying to rip it off.
John Small, General Manager at WKNR-FM. Kerry Walker, General Manager of WKNR-AM, just what he thinks of radio today.
I am very proud to say that WKNR-AM and FM are progressing along with the other radio stations in really getting back into the communication business. It is indeed a pleasure to be associated with a group of broadcasters in this market that have done, in the past, a very commendable job, but I think now we've initiated a new sound, and it's a Detroit sound. We've contemporary radio and WJR, California radio, our own stereo island, RIF, ABX, are all to be commended because they are going after a specific audience or demo.
Jim Tate is the morning DJ at WKNR, and he comments on an age-old problem, how to get up before you do.
Yeah, I feel that morning radio in any town is about the same, because people are people, and getting up is the same drudge that it is in Philadelphia, where I was, or in New York. Any city at all, getting up is a pain in the neck. Some people have a lower opinion of it.
That's Jim Tate. Hello there. By the way, when your mind goes blank, always remember to turn off the sound.
WCAR's Ed Bush.
There hasn't really been anything new since WKNR hit on Halloween Day 1963. And I mean that sincerely, because if you remember when they first started, there was no talk. They just pounded out the records. And in 1965, when CKLW came on, that's exactly what they did. I know. I was there. It was almost a carbon copy of what Keener did when they first kicked off. So I think probably the next revolution, if you can call it that, because let's face it, everything comes in cycles, It's got to go back to personality. And I look very strongly in the next year or so to see a personality rocker in town.
The phenomenal, fantastic, wonderful, beautiful Barbara Streisand. And he touched me. Now, the fourth and final hour of Words and Music. With yours truly, Tom Clay. In this hour, we is going to have a ball. To get it bouncing, try this one on for size.
A most fantastic memory, I guess, in Detroit radio has to be the Beatles at CKLW. I'd come back from Los Angeles after working out here for a couple of years and had the offer to go to work at CK. And it was just the scope, everything, unbelievable. You know, the audience getting such things as 40,000 letters in less than 3 days. That's got to be something, you know. And with it all, it never went to my head. I know there are some in Detroit who would, doubt that and say, oh, you kidding, man, he had to be a conceited, you know. But I never was. I was always kind of like, wow, amazed, you know, this is me, you know. Like an example, when Payola happened, and I had been fired, you know, from the station, and it didn't bother me. Because I was so excited by the fact that I had my picture on the front page of the paper, you know, and I'm saying, I ran home and I said to my wife, hey, look, that's me, man. They got my picture on the front page of the paper.
Motor City Music. We talk with Tom Clay, one of Detroit's best remembered DJs, who's working now in Los Angeles. He recalls just for you some of his early Detroit radio memories.
Standing up on top of Jack's Auto Wash car sign and doing a show, and when doing Willie and the Hand Jive, that was while I worked at WJBK. The other memory, of course, is getting fired for taking payola, and what a messed up thing that was, not just for radio, but for disc jockeys and record companies.
Whether you had or not didn't matter. It was a nice thing to say to a guy who was new in the market, still scared to death. My one big letdown was J.P. McCarthy, who, though he'd be a super talent, certainly lacked a little warmth that night. Never really got over that, because I really have a feeling that no matter how big you are, you're not any bigger than your brothers in the same business. And if a guy loves radio, I think you're all about equal. So that was probably the only letdown that I have in any way about Detroit. The other stations were magnificent. As a matter of fact, one of the finest guys I remember from Detroit radio was Ernie Durham. And just the many, many times that we were together at cocktail parties or at shows, and the great, great raps we got into. And, of course, he's so steeped in tradition of Detroit radio, knows everybody, and probably one of the biggest gentlemen of this business that I've ever had the privilege of knowing in my entire life. A lot of great times went down. Probably the most fun radio time ever was Detroit, Michigan.
Charlie Van Dyke now in San Diego. Let's check now with you, the listener, and find out what you think.
I listen to WABX because it's got a wide variety of music. Detroit radio stations have the funny habit of playing the same music over and over until you get to hate the song.
I've been waiting for a long time for Heart to come back into radio in Detroit. So how about a little less ego in Detroit radio and a little more Heart?
Acid rock, progressive rock, underground, call it what you will. It looks like it's here to stay for a while. John Detz, general manager at WABX, tells us how it all came about.
Basically, we've just begun to see an evolution in radio. The evolution of this type of radio can be not only used in rock, but also in MOR, middle-of-the-road music, and classical talk. It's an attitude difference.
Bill Lockridge, general manager at WRIF, talks about FM radio in Detroit.
Detroit's a very funny market for FM. There's 18 stations here, as you know. I don't think there's any station that has a big lead on anybody. It's pretty fragmented right down the line. Everybody has just a little piece here, a little piece there. But nothing like a New York or a WOR or NEW, PLJ. These stations all have 15 shares, 13 shares at night, compared to what AMs used to have. This town hasn't done it yet, but I think it's right around the corner.
The Detroit radio market is both good and bad. I think it tends to be bad for the listeners. As a salesman on the street, it isn't any different than any other market. You think, why are there this many radio stations? But the second you begin to analyze it, there really aren't. the listener loses first because there's not an extreme competitive picture. Take Los Angeles. You've got 96 radio stations in the metropolitan area, if you're including Orange County. Even in Houston, you're somewhere around 45 radio stations, but Detroit's really a handful, a dozen that are making any kind of impact on the market. So it's easy to set in Detroit with a bad format and survive. Half of the stuff in Detroit could move into Los Angeles, and the station could be in receivership in 90 days. In Detroit, it can last for years. Look at the number of stations in the market, and you go to that market, you're going to find that station, not that station, but that market has radio stations that are the most innovative in new programming concepts, new formats. They've got to be, just by basis of survival. In Detroit, it's easy to survive.
Dan Gooding.
Great Scott, Robin. After riding the Bat Ride at Edgewater Park, the Batmobile feels as tame as a kitten.
Lee Allen hired me. He is the program director, and of course, we had been the number one disc jockey in Detroit for many years. He and Joel Sebastian and WXYZ had always been the dominant station. Lee decided that he wanted to get off the air, so he eased off and he phased himself out. And I'll never forget how surprised I was when I walked into the room and saw a guy by the name of Pat Murphy and a guy by the name of Dave Prince and a guy by the name of Mark Avery. And all these people were a little bit older than I was, and I thought, gee, aren't they kind of old to be playing records?
So take us back a couple of years. You probably remember a disc jockey by the name of Tom Clay introducing this song by Brenda Lee on WXYZ, although that was not the station. It's called I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I think you hit the cue a little better than that. Let's try it again, otherwise I won't feel confused. Hitting a cue, meaning that I talk over the instrumental portion of the song until the vocalist begins, and by the time she starts singing, I should have shut up with what I have to say. And the closer you get, the better disc jockey you are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Brenda Lee sings I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Two tries. I got to try it again now.
See what you get for being smart?
No, well, no, really. I can do it.
You can be nervous. I can do it. Why don't you try your whole routine over it?
All right, my whole show, right? The best of Joey Reynolds goes 3 minutes. We run that on Sunday night. 26 after 9 o'clock, and this is a million-dollar sound for Brenda Lee. You and me, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Is that not close enough? We got to get it closer? Really? All right, that was just a little bit of a hair of a pause in there. All right, one more time. If I don't make it this time, I'll hang up my disc jockey strap and leave, you know. This is Brenda Lee to sing her million-dollar song on WXYZ, I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry.
So much better. I'm so glad.
We asked Joey why it is that people want to be disc jockeys in the first place.
Frankly, being a disc jockey today is a bore because I don't think one becomes a disc jockey for glamour. Your first day on the air, you realize that the glamour is only in your head when you're not doing the show. But as is the case, I'm in Hollywood now with movie stars. You find that they enjoy very little pleasure from the glamour. They enjoy the pleasure from actually giving, from doing the work. And that has been the case in being a disc jockey. But today there is not any reason to be a disc jockey because you cannot be creative and you cannot enjoy the work as much as you could have then. But there will come another cycle, as is always the case. The cycle of personalities will be back in this sterile machine type operation. Will be erased. And then, of course, after the personalities bore everybody again, then the cycle of the sterility will be back. But that's the way it is.
You're loving honey, W-H-N-D.
Woody Bryant!
Ted the Bear in the early morning. Richard D. in midday. Boogie Bryan in late afternoon. And Ron T. at night.
Witness real-life human emergencies on Rescue 911 tonight at 8 o'clock on Detroit's new Channel 62.
Detroit's classic rock, 94.7 WCSX. The River, 93.9 FM. Music you can't hear anywhere else.
You're listening to the station that remembers the real rock and roll. WPON, Walled Lake, Detroit. Or on the web at WPON.com.
My name is Richard Milhouse Nixon. I am not a crook, but Crazy Al, now there is a crook.
Hang up your hat, kids, because we
got 2 hours straight ahead, a special Christmas edition of Crazy Al's Radio Party with special guest disc jockey, the radio guy himself, Art Volo. So hang on to your hat. Here we go. Greatest oldies, rock and roll, straight ahead, along with your favorite Christmas songs, too. Gonna get it started off with the Super Supremes. 63 gold with Crazy Al. Pow!
You made the memories. We keep them alive on Honey Gold, Oldies 1460 WPON.
Motor City Memories.
Art Photo, I want to ask you, how in the world did you become known as the radio guy?
Well, I'm not really known as the radio guy. I'm known as radio's best friend is actually the...
Well, that's kind of the radio guy.
Well, I know, but the radio's best friend is kind of a handle that was given to me by a guy who does a lot of voiceover work, which is where you hear people's voices in commercials around the country, a guy named John Leader. John worked many, many, many years ago at WLAV in Grand Rapids, and that's probably the only time he was ever here in Michigan. He's out in Los Angeles. He does very, very well, and you would recognize his voice instantly. Well, he used to write a column called Street Talk, all the latest radio gossip in R&R, which is Radio and Records. That's the leading radio industry trade publication. And he congratulated me on a big deal I got with my little radio guides that I publish. And he did that back in May of 1985. He said, let's congratulate radio's best friend, Art Volo, on a big order from General Motors. So it was a very cool thing. And somebody said to me, you know, that is a nice handle to have. And if you're smart, you will use that to your advantage. So I am now known as radio's best friend.
Radio.
And but you know what the trouble is? You have to always live up to the good reputation of it. And then the record started, and I'm still talking. You want to start the record over again, and you can introduce it now.
You got it.
Because I can't stand to step on a record. Andy, you have to play a record over again. And Al, you introduce Gloria.
Can I do that? Okay.
Come on. Just like the big time. Come on.
Hey, I'm
start
sorry.
Over again.
I didn't mean to.
You didn't tell me there was no lead in. It was a cold beginning. You just all of a sudden.
Here it is. Gloria Lynn.
Yes.
Great oldies, rock and roll.
What's it called?
Tower of Strength.
Yes. Crazy Al is my tower of strength. That's Gloria Lynn. Is that Gloria Lynn Chelsea Stadia? No, Gloria just.
No,
Gloria.
No, no. That's
just
not
Gloria Lynn.
The Latin version.
Yeah, the Latin.
Not to
tower
be.
Tower of Strength. Who did Tower of Strength was originally that? Wasn't that G. McDaniel? Did,
yeah.
Did they get with that?
Different song. You know, different song.
What was the different song?
Same title.
It's kind of like Stairway to Heaven, which was remembered by Neil Sedaka, and then later by Led Zeppelin. Totally different song.
Same title.
Same title.
You're good.
There was another one like that. Orleans did a song called, that was a Drifter song about dance, about something about dance. I can't remember now. Because when you get, you know, I have a lot of, how about you, Al? A lot of senior moments of
life. Senior moments, yeah. More and more all the time.
And the funny thing is, they have nothing at all to do with my last year of high school.
Art Photo, the radio guy. We'll be right back, gang. Holy Toledo.
Holy Toledo.
Ed Schultz.
Hey, you know, I didn't know they were from Toledo. The group I remember from Toledo was Johnny and the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
What's Johnny's last name? Do you remember?
I can't remember. I should know.
It's Johnny Paris.
That's right.
That's right.
Johnny Paris.
And there's another group. You see, there were, back in the earlier days of rock and roll, there were just tons of great instrumental songs. And nobody plays them anymore. One of the questions I got is, somebody wrote to me in the newspaper, and they emailed me and said, how come you don't hear any instrumental records on the oldies stations unless they use it underneath a commercial, which we call a bed in a commercial, which is the music that you talk over? And I said, I don't know. The only thing I can come up with is probably they didn't test well in those focus groups that they have where they test the audience.
Yeah.
And they say, well, these are the 16 records we can play because these are the ones that people know.
Do you know that last Thursday was the second Thursday that Jukebox John did Instrumental Thursday in a row? The afternoon show played nothing but instrumentals for 2 hours.
Hey.
We had wall-to-wall calls. I mean, we talked about instrumentals that were actually not forgotten, but, I mean, we hadn't heard from them in a long time. They were just great, unbelievable.
What's the old expression? Gone from the charts, but not from the hearts. Remember that?
I like that. I gotta remember that.
Rocking and reeling and hanging from the ceiling. We have tons of those great sick lines. And here on the Crazy Al Morning Radio Show, it's about 5 minutes to the hour.
To go to the other side of this rock and roll show.
Hey.
Speaking of Johnny and the Hurricanes, Daddy-O.
You got one for us.
I got one, a good one for you.
What do you have for us, Al?
This is the one where the girl jumps out of the cake. She is doing the Dance of Sheba of the Seven Veils.
Uh-huh.
To the other side of this rock and roll show with the radio guy.
Yeah.
Watch this. Look at this.
What's this called?
This is called Sheba.
Oh. Don't dance. Please don't dance.
That's a monster record.
It's a monster record. It's a monster.
Been playing that since what,
1958. Yeah, that's how long that thing's been out.
Brenda Lee was only, golly, about 14 years old.
She was real young. You know, I met her once, in fact, down in Nashville. That's where she lives. And, you know, she is very small. I don't think she towers much over about 5'1", 5'2", if that, maybe she's barely 5 foot. She's a little gal.
She always told the story in a Ralph Emery interview years ago. When she was growing up and all those great big records were going on,
mm-hmm.
they lived in a house trailer.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
In Nashville. And her mom and dad kind of, you know, managed her career. They didn't have the Jackie Coogan law in Tennessee. But, she said that she went to school and everybody thought that she was just rich and famous. And after school, went home to the house trailer.
Believe it or not, I first met Brenda Lee many, many, many years ago when she was appearing on WJBK here in Detroit on the Mark Avery Morning Show. Now, you remember that? Now, this is when it was back in the MA and the AM days. Mark Avery on WJBK 1500 on the radio dial here in Detroit, just down from us. Don't go there now. There's nothing worth listening to. God forgive me for saying that. But anyway, that was when I first met her years ago.
Art Volo, the radio guy, radio's best friend, will be right back.
From 1962, Crazy Al.
That was that long ago.
Yeah, yeah. Back when Sherry was out and all that stuff. One of the very earliest songs. And actually, it was the flip side of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which is a totally different version than the Bruce Springsteen version. Completely different, you know, talking about the boardwalk and Asbury Park and all that stuff. But that I remember the late Joel Sebastian on WXYZ years ago saying, here's a song with a lament. I never heard the word back then, lament.
But he said a song with a lament.
A lament, yeah, because it is a sad song. And when you're alone, Christmas is a time of great depression, as you know. If you're not with people that you love or people that you enjoy their company and you're all by yourself, it can be a very, very terribly lonely time of the year. So that's and that's when those of us on the radio sometimes don't realize the power that we have in keeping people company. You know, a lot of people, the radio is their companion and their friend, and they wake up with it in the morning, like many people are right now. They go to bed with it at night, like I do, listening to Mr. Everly playing the oldies here at WPON. And it's just, you know, it's just a really cool, a wonderful little invention. And I love radio. Would you have ever guessed, Al? Huh?
Hard follow. Anyway, we'll be back in a bit again.
Thanks.
Crazy Al, radio party, 1460 WPON.
Holy Toledo!
Hey, there they are. Johnny and the Hurricanes. You said you'd play this, didn't you?
I did. I gotta do it for her. Listen, Lee, we're gonna catch up on your request tomorrow, if you don't mind. Because Crazy Al doesn't know the artist of the red-headed flea thing.
Bulletin. Crazy Al doesn't know an oldie. I don't think that's ever happened, Crazy Al.
Well, it has, but I don't want anybody to know.
Go ahead, Mike.
I forgot to read the title. Here's a poem.
Hey, Dick, why don't I just go up there and knock the fool out of him?
Yeah, why don't you do that, Mr. Mayor? Okay, go ahead, yeah.
The poem is called The Ladies of Harley.
Mm-hmm.
A poem.
We knew all that.
Thank you. My face is in the wind. My leather sheet blown up to my chin. Tooling along on my scooter with all of my bros, trying to ignore the bug that flew up my nose. My chick is relieving tension by rubbing my head, but I'm wearing my helmet, so I wish she'd rub my shoulders instead. I've been riding 9 hours, and that may sound dumb. My fingers are cramped, my tushy is numb. The sun is hot, the wind rubs me raw. My lady is freezing the studs off her bra. Even though it's chilly, she's not wearing many clothes. Last time she wore this outfit, her silicone froze. Now she wants to get a face lifted, even though her implants are in the process of shifting. My dear old lady, I love you just like you are. When I first saw you dancing in that biker bar, you told me you were a student who liked to read Shakespeare and jog, so I offered you a chance to go ride on my hog. We've been together now through the strange and the weird, and I still love your tattoo, but I still hate your beard. A poem to the ladies of Harlem.
Thank you, Beck. Now, of course, Saki Toomey just revealed there on the radio just a few minutes ago that George Bush, who was the youngest Navy pilot during the war, and that's true, he was, shot down your father.
Papa-san. Yeah.
During the war.
Yeah, Saki Toomey, number one. I am Saki Toomey Jr., which we never talk about before because I get so upset when my papa-san was shot down by George Bush. Mm-hmm. And he was a younger pirate. He was a pirate, 18 a year old.
Who was?
George Bush.
Yes, I know he was, yeah.
And Papa saw frying in his Mitsubishi.
Yeah.
Okay, he not hurt anybody, just frying around.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he's working for aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
For Yamamoto, the admiral. And so all of a sudden, here comes George Bush. He starts to shoot the gun, and then Papa son go cry, and he go in the ocean. So he swim away and go back to his boat.
Okay, all
and
right.
Then they say, oh, you Saki Toomey, number one, you got a shot down by 18-year-old. George Bush, he shot you down.
So the Japanese knew, your father knew who shot him down.
Well, because they knew it was President Bush. They all know.
Oh, I see.
So then Papa son, he got a new Mitsubishi. He had to get a brand new one.
Oh, yeah.
And it's much faster because it's a new one because the other one crashed.
Sure.
It's no good no more. So he
the new one had the airbags and the whole shot.
Well, it was a power window.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Which you have to be careful because when you fly the plane, you hit the button and the window
You can fly right out of the plane.
You fall out of the airplane if you go upside down or something.
Sure.
That's why so many, that's what the kamikaze, they sometimes they make a mistake. The power window, they flip over, they fall out.
So then they never crash into the ship, yeah.
No, the plane just keep going. They crashed in the ship.
Sure, yeah.
That's why we lost the war.
Okay, Saki, thank you so much.
Hello, Dick Burton, please.
Well, this is Dick. Who's this?
This is Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, really?
Listen, I just called to thank you for talking about Disco Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that song.
Well, now, Ricky, I thought that you were...
to Argentina? That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I live right down the street from Elvis.
No kidding.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
Hey, I'm on the phone with Dick Burton.
Well, tell him I said hello.
Fred Mertz says hello.
So you're both down there in Argentina, huh, Rick?
Well, you know, the old thing, you all got to go to Argentina sometime.
Yeah, that's right.
Rick, tell him I love Oscar Furnett.
I heard that, yeah. Well, look at put Fred Mertz on the line.
Hi, Dick. Fred Mertz. I love your program.
Well, thank you, Fred. I'm surprised you're a fan. Most of our listeners are, I know, a little younger than you are.
No, we all listen to you down here.
No kidding.
Well, not everybody. Some of the older guys listen to WJR.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not us young guys.
Ah, that's great. Okay.
Hold your horses, Rick. Look, Dick, I gotta go. Any chance for an I Ace the Case t-shirt?
I don't know, Fred.
Ask him who sang Babaloo.
Give it up, Rick. That never charted.
That's right, yeah.
Babaloo.
Gotta go, Dick. Rick's having an attack.
Detroit's best variety, 96.3 WDVD. It's 6:06. Little trouble getting it going this morning. Well, at least you're not waking up next to Rosie O'Donnell. Whispering sweet tirades in your ear, right? Already, it's a good day.
I know him.
Detroit's best variety, 96.3 WDVD. It's 6:10. Hey, time's a-wasting. Let's get to work on that next Matrix movie, all right? Tim Allen and the Santa Claus Matrix. Featuring Nemo, of course. This is Creed.
Launching Detroit's best variety of the 80s, 90s, and today. 96.3 WDVD.
Detroit's best variety, 96.3 WDVD. Detroit's best variety, 96.3 WDVD. It's 6:38. This is Kevin O'Neill. Later on this morning on The View, it's Rosie O'Donnell and Boy George. You write your own punchline for that one, all right? I'm only the messenger.
105.1 The Groove, Detroit's Groove and Oldies. This is Kevin O'Neill. Do you believe all these cool songs on one radio station? Oh, that's what I always think when I'm listening or when I'm on this side of the radio. So many great songs, so little time. Let's do the best we can, all right? Russell Tompkins Jr., Stylistics. Betcha by golly wow on 105.1 The Groove. 105.1 The Groove, Detroit's Groove and Oldies. Ron James next with your requests and cool groove and oldies mixes on Saturday Night Super Groove. Kevin O'Neill leaving you with three words of wisdom.
Feel so good.
Ooh,
no.
You got it, right?
This is the Big Bad Bird, and for the next 3 hours, we're going to be bothered with Robert.
Wonderful WXYZ.
This is Bed Bull.
Or the Chuck Richards Union of Music, Local 106.
Oh, sleep.
I could get real dirty about this.
There, here's Crowley and Company. Good morning, you.
On the number 10 song in Detroit of the Jerry Goodwin Show.
As I blast in with a Rodney Rodent joke.
We're on the Swingin' Mini Show. That's hardly pretty.
Coming in the AM, Mark Avery.
With the power, on with your hitline request.
DKLW.
I want you to consider the Motor Cities your happening place.
Bucktown Sound.
Just ahead of much more music.
This is Don Patrick.
The tower's falling down.
The old bear is shining in.
Hi, this is Ed Bush, and this is the Swingin' Sunday Sound of WLIN.
I'm Ron Rose. Thanks a lot for being here.
Now until midnight in Detroit.
9:30 on the Tom Shannon Show.
Black is bad, white is good. Black man. Ooh.
Mm. WJLB right on time.
Black power. Black power.
Rick Curtin Show from WKNR, Kita 13.
IG Creepers, Uncle Dick is Captain Happy.
It's a sleepy Monday morning. Maybe a wolf call or two would help.
Tom Dicho, WJBK. Yeah, brother.
A big D.
4 o'clock. Get it on home, boy.
This is Dave Carr. Good morning to you.
A lot of modern country music for you.
DJ Cook. You're on
nuts. On W4, presenting Answers Worth Knowing and Gardens Worth Hoeing.
Here's Jerry Reed at 904 for W4 with Joey and Jerry Sims.
Stereo 106.
W4 Stereo. Island. I'm Bob Bartlett from 100FA.
On a Monday in Detroit with a late Tate, let's play on.
Words and music. With yours truly, Tom Clay.
If Mom and Dad happens to be listening right now, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you can give me an answer. Or maybe you're looking for it yourself. Whatever happened to the nights we used to sit on the front porch playing initials of movie stars? Whatever happened to hide-go-seek? What was it you'd say when you wanted everybody to come in? Holy, holy, in-free? Or something like, anyone near my goal is it? Whatever happened to laughing? To loving? Whatever happened to walking fences? Who invented stuffed shirts? Whatever happened to that haunted house on your street? Or the house that you better not go near it because a mean old man is inside and he'll put a spell on you if you go near him? Whatever happened to the excitement of your first love? Or whatever happened to, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times? Whatever happened to the stray dog you brought home but couldn't keep? Whatever happened to the penny that you were given for the collection at church? What's happened to when it rained? How you'd build a little dam in the street and wade barefooted and build the little boats out of matchsticks and paper? Whatever happened to the water that came down the eaves trough and made the most beautiful clear puddle with all the exciting little stones? And what about going through a meadow and trying to find stones and finding one and say, boy, I'll bet this is a very valuable thing, and putting it in a box? Whatever happened to skipping stones on water? Whatever happened to sugar sandwiches? You'd pour sugar on a piece of bread and put water on it so it wouldn't fall off? Whatever happened to catching bees in a jar or catching lightning bugs? Whatever happened to flipping bubblegum cards? Or breaking a bottle of milk and being afraid to go home? Whatever happened to jumping off the railing of a porch into leaves? For that matter, whatever happened to porches? Whatever happened to good night, stars, I love you? Or whatever happened to starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight? Whatever happened to Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy, or that program called Grand Central Station? Whatever happened to cops and robbers, or cowboys and Indians, or rubber band guns that you'd make yourself, or saving the tinfoil in a great big ball and turning it in because you'd get a seeing eye dog for someone? Or was that cigarette wrappers? Where's that schoolboy? Where is that schoolboy that used to be me? When the world was young, only yesterday. As the aging hand of time runs her fingers through my hair, all I can think of is, whatever happened to, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Whatever happened to lollipops?
Tell her you care.
There are countless more people who make up this thing called Detroit Radio. There are scores of them who have gone on to bigger and better things, and many who just didn't seem to make it after they left here. People like Mickey Shore, Bingy and Gentile, Martin and Howard, Lee Allen, Joel Sebastian, Dave Prince, Harvey Kay, Eddie Chase, Marty McNeely, Joe Vann, Bud Davies, Toby David, Bud Guest, and Carl Haas. To all of them here now, and to those who are somewhere else doing their best to entertain another audience, we say, good job, guys, and hang in there. Tomorrow will be even better.
And in